Did it look out of this world?
Well, I knew it wasn't made, by any nation on this earth. That was the part I was having a problem with. It wasn't. I just couldn't. I think I might have been in awe over it. I was. That was probably the emotion I had. I was in awe. I figured I had plenty of time with that craft to investigate it and report the information. That was my job, and that is what I wanted to do. Is I wanted to get the facts, report them as I seen them, and then let somebody else with more rank figure out what the hell was going on.
Oh, absolutely. You didn't see any rivets, Jim, or anything like that? Looked like just all one piece, huh?
No, it was completely smooth. I don't know. It was like a solid piece of glass.
And how long were you able to look at it?
We had done probably about 45 minutes on the ground investigation, and we thought we had that there for, it was there for, weeks or whatever we wanted to have with it. And then it started to generate more light, like it was powering up. And
the body was starting to glow?
Yes. It started getting much, much brighter, more of a white light. The coloring started dissipating from it. And it was more, it was so bright that you had to squint. And myself and the other patrolman, we took a, defensive position because we weren't sure what it was doing. We didn't know if it was becoming hostile or what.
Right. Right.
And it lifted up slowly and moved a little bit through the trees and then went up to the top of the trees and hovered momentarily. And then it shot off out of the distance. And it's probably the best to describe it, maybe a blink of an eye.
That fast.
And here's the real odd part about it. Of all this phenomena that's going on in front of me, it had no air displacement.
Nothing.
Zero. I mean, anything else that would be going through the air that fast would have sonic booms and everything else going on. Even the trees and the leaves and that didn't move. There was no air displacement at all on it.
And was it totally silent?
Completely silent.
That's got to be so strange to have witnessed. So you go back, Jim, and you're constantly reporting this. Does anybody believe you guys?
Of course they did.
They did?
Sure. Yeah, everybody believed it. I mean, I was out there. I was a security supervisor. I reported exactly what I seen. And
you're a no-nonsense guy, I assume, at the time. Probably still now. Yeah.
Absolutely. And had come back with the other patrolmen to our control center, returned our weapons and stuff in. My flight sergeant was there. And I said, well, Sergeant Chandler, you're just not going to believe what happened out there tonight. And he says, yes, I do believe it. He said, we've seen it from the base here. We've seen the takeoff. So it was observed from the our sister base, which was Bentwaters, which was 3 miles away. I would say probably that night there was probably at least a minimum 80 witnesses, all security police.
Now, did you wash this report, or I mean, you've been quiet for a long time until you retired, right?
Correct. I guess it started, the sanitation of it, the report started actually that night when we reported to the shift commander. We told him a craft of some sort. Of unknown origin had landed, in the woods and then taken off. And the shift commander was hesitant with that. He paused for a while and he said, well, gentlemen, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, the Air Force doesn't look good on this. They don't at all. They said Project Blue Book ended a number of years ago, and there's probably not a way to report this. And he says, I don't know if it would be a good idea to do that anyway.
Jeez.
So that's the way we left it. We did do a 1569, which is an incident and complaint report, which is a very detailed report of what we observed out there. And that was done up in a no-blotter entry was done for our security police blotter. And that actually was directed by Colonel Halt on the following morning.
Did this bother you, Jim, this report, this episode? Did it plague you for years?
I think the thing that bothers me the most is that, you know, we can tell you what it wasn't, but we can't tell you what it was.
Right.
And the other part of it is some of the things that really bothered us, and it's probably the reason why we finally went public after all those years, is there was so much misinformation coming out. It was bizarre. The story itself is sensational by itself.
Okay? Absolutely. The way you just described it, which is a first-time account of coming up to a craft that could have been of extraterrestrial origin, is absolutely riveting to me.
Well, it was life-changing. I tell you what,
I envy you.
Oh, I tell you what, if I could change the past, what I would do is I wouldn't work that Christmas schedule that night. I would have some other security supervisor work it.
You prefer that you would not have seen this, huh?
Yes, that's... No, this is a... I don't know. I would rather have another supervisor deal with the burden of Rendlesham, you know. It's
wow. Have you had nightmares? Nightmares about this?
Oh, of course. Of course. The post-traumatic stress, I think we've all suffered that.
Wow. Because you think it could be from another planetary system?
It wasn't made here. There's no way that the technology in 1980 could ever replicate that, and we can't do it today. And I tell you what, honestly, I don't believe we could do it for 1,000 years. At least.
How do you feel, Jim, the fact that you touched an object that was made possibly on another planet?
You know, I ask myself that question a lot. Why was it us out there? You know, why were we the ones that... had this incident happen. I don't know. I suppose. How do I feel? Jeez, I don't know. It's tough. I tell you, it's in some ways it's tough, and in other ways it's not. And one of the ways it's not is that there's no doubt in my mind that we're not alone. I think that is probably the only good thing maybe that came out of that.
See, people like me have devoted our entire lives, Jim, to trying to find out that answer, that question, are we alone? And you have that right there. I really do envy you.
Well,
I would trade places with you.
I tell you what, I don't think I really want to have the burden of that.
I understand. Let's bring in Jim Fox, who's been listening. Jim, would you want to go see that object? Would you have done that?
I said to Jim when I interviewed him a year or so ago, you've got some serious nerve to go out there. But one of the things, Jim, you neglected to mention, which blew me away, was your logbook from that night and the symbols that were on the craft that he sketched in his logbook that night.
Symbols? Okay, I think we're losing you there, Jim. We'll get that fixed. Symbols.
Oh, yeah, on the upper right side of the craft was, let me see my notes here. I got my logbook right here.
Do they look like hieroglyphs from Egypt, that kind of look?
No, there's some type of pictorial type symbols, yes. They measured about 3 inches high, and they were about 2.5 feet long. And they seemed like they were etched in glass.
And what did they look like? I mean, just give us an example.
Well,
pictorial pictures of what?
Well, there's symbols. For one, in the center of it was a larger circle, which is probably about 6 inches, 7 inches wide. And there was a triangular design in the middle of that. And there was three other circles that were inside that triangle.